Don't you love the Word of God? How many of y'all love the Word this morning? Amen. What a privilege I have this morning to share in God's Word with you. We're second phase of just an encouraging series to build our faith. In our series this month, based on the theme, Find and Fulfill, our growth focus is outreach. Developing a heart that looks beyond our own interest and answers the call of God, His mandate to go and become great at making disciples. It's not just something that all believers are called to do, church. Going in disciple making is the heart of Jesus. It's the reason He came. The Bible says He came to seek and save that which is lost. And He relies on me and you to become the kinds of followers who are excited about seeing lives changed by His love, by His message of hope, and by the power of the gospel. Amen. Last week we got started looking at Jesus' parable of the Great Supper. We saw there that the master of the house instructed his servant to go out inviting. And when those people made excuses and didn't come to the kingdom, the master then told his servant, go then and bring people into the kingdom. And after they brought people to the kingdom, there was still room. Come on, everybody say there's still room. So the master told the servant, go out and compel the others to come into the kingdom. Thank God. He said, invite, bring, and compel. And that's where we pick up in today's message in Luke 14 and 23. Here's what the Bible says. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And look at the reason why. That my house may be filled. One more time, look closely. The master said to the servant, remember from last week, God is the master, we are His servants, and the kingdom is the supper. He said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Thank God. Stretch your hands toward me, guys, for a quick prayer. Father, I love you today. Thank you so much for your word, God. I just lean upon you today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to give me a unique inspiration today. Lord, the ability to be consistent with your word and this message, the way that you would have us to receive it today. Inspire us, build our faith, and compel us to be great inviters, great bringers, and great compellers. Thank you for your word today, God, because we love your word. We need your word. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. I'll say along with Miss Kelsey today, I love the cooler weather this morning. How about you? It felt so good. I stopped in the driveway on my way out this morning and looked up and said, thank you, Jesus. Needed it today. Amen. I got a question for you this morning. Have you ever noticed that when there's something that you really want or you really need, you have a tendency to do whatever it takes to get it done? Have y'all noticed that in your life? It reminds me of the guy whose friend called him up and said, hey, I could really use your help tomorrow. I've got this project going on, and I don't have anyone else who can help me, so I'm calling on you. And the guy said, well, I'm sorry, I can't come help. I've got to work tomorrow. And the friend said, well, what about the next day? It won't take very long. I just need your help for a little while. And the guy said, oh, wait, I'm sorry. I have church that day. So the friend was consistent. He really needed help. He was consistent. He said, let me just know what day you can come by and help me, and I'll put it off till then. And the guy thought about it, and he said, you know, I really don't think there's any time I can break away this week and come help you. Well, the friend got really discouraged. He began to give up. So he said, well, in that case, I can't really do it without your help. What do you say we just drop everything and go play a round of golf? And the guy said, sure, what day and what time do you want to tee off? It's a lot like some of us sometimes. When there's something that you really want to take part in or really want to do, you make time for it. Or maybe you're more like me. If I need it done and I just can't seem to compel someone to join me, I have a tendency to just try and do it all by myself. Are y'all like this, guys? You can become a loner. When it comes to obeying the master and filling his house, we are instructed, church, to make it such a priority that we get excited about inviting, about bringing, and compelling people to come in. This week when I looked up the definition of compel from our text in Luke 14, it's translated from the Greek word anagkazo. It means to create a necessity. Create a necessity for that thing to get done. In the English dictionary, it just means this. It means to passionately urge or persuade someone to do something. In both cases, everybody, the connotation here is imperative. Every believer should have a sense of urgency about filling the master's house. Everybody say urgency, come on. That means to do what it takes to convince, to get passionate about creating that necessity, urging people, persuading others that God's kingdom is really where they need to be. I'm challenging all of us this month to get outside of our comfort zones and outside of our complacency and open our eyes and our hearts to the needs of those people around us. It means that you need to be equipped with the most compelling thing that you can use to make a difference and fill the house of God. The most compelling thing you have, I'm going to tell you right now, the most compelling thing that you have is your own story about you and God. Let me say that one more time. The most compelling thing that you have to begin convincing others and persuading them and compelling them to come to the kingdom of God is your story about how God has affected your life and how he has engaged you and changed you from who you used to be. It means that you are a living epistle. Your own story. Your story is undeniable. It's unquestionable. Your story is the most impactful way to compel somebody else that God can do for them exactly what he has done for you. Come on, everybody say, my story. Your story is compelling. Your story. I'm not talking about anybody else this morning. I'm talking about you. I'm going to give you some examples of some exciting stories in just a moment. But I want you to begin thinking about your story. What has God done for you? What's the difference between your life now and your life before you encountered the cross of Jesus? Because the change in you is your story. It's the most compelling thing you have because the Bible says your story is written on your heart. It comes from your very own experiences with God. Sometimes people think that their story isn't important, that they can't compel someone to come into the kingdom because they don't have the biblical foundations. They don't have the verbal skills to articulate the kind of theology that might convince someone else to believe. But church, hear me out on this. That's not usually how God chooses to use people to make a difference anyway. God's not really worried about your skills. He's not really worried about your knowledge or how articulate you are, how knowledgeable you are. He's not even worried about how intelligent you are. Thank God. Amen. He just wants you to be real. Come on, everybody say, be real. He just wants you to be real. He wants you to be willing to open your eyes to the needs that are all around you and be willing to step out with courage and find and fulfill by telling what he's done for you in your life. In fact, did you know that the Bible says that your life is being written as a letter from God to the people around you? You are a living epistle. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3 says this. You are our epistle written in our hearts and read by all men. Please hear me this morning. It means that your life is being read by everyone you encounter. That word epistle, it just means a written letter. Scripture says that your life is a letter. It's written in the heart for all men to know and to read. I have a question for you right now. What is the letter of your life telling the people around you about you and God? When people begin to see you and when they hear you, when they read your life to find out what it says about how God aligns your life? Do they see how God has aligned your behavior with what you say about God? Or when they read your life, are they reading a love letter from God? Are they reading a letter that compels them to come into the kingdom of God? Or are they reading a letter of discouragement, or disillusionment? A letter that makes them wonder why in the world they should ever come to the kingdom. This morning, please hear me. I urge everybody who's part of this church as we're growing and being discipled through this great concept of being great disciple makers, I urge you to understand this morning that you are a living epistle that is being read by people every day of your life. And the letter of your life is really your tool in your hand, but written by the Holy Spirit that you can use to compel someone to come to the master's table. It's your life that makes the difference. What are they reading when they interact with you, when they listen to you, when they see about the change that God has taken place in your life? What is your life telling them about God? I challenge everybody this morning to think about whether or not you're living a compelling life for the Lord. Your life is the most compelling thing that you have. Verse 3 says this: clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. It means that God's Spirit is writing your story in your heart. Is he writing his story in your heart today? He's writing in your heart, not just in your head. Because God knows that when something comes from your heart, you're real about it. When something comes from your heart, you're authentic, you're impactful. And church, God doesn't care whether or not you are impressive. He only cares that you're willing to be an ordinary person who wants to do extraordinary things for him. Let me say that one more time. He doesn't care whether or not you're impressive. He just wants to make sure that you're real, that you're authentic, that you're an ordinary person, but someone willing to step out with courage and faith and do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. Look at this statement. Please commit this to memory. You got to confess this over your life every morning when you get up. God uses ordinary people to do the extraordinary. Thank God. I found some incredible examples of ordinary people who've been willing to do great things, to really find and fulfill by looking around and obeying the master's command to bring people into the kingdom. I want to share a couple of stories with you this morning about that. Let this story stir up your big dream for God. Look at this picture. This guy's name is Gregory Boyle. Gregory Boyle. It's an amazing picture here of Gregory on the other side in the old black and white picture. That's from 1988. And here on the other side in the color picture, this is Gregory today. Gregory was a simple, ordinary local pastor trying to serve in a little mission church in East L.A., and he wondered why God put him there. And he began to pray about it. Lord, what kind of difference can I make here? I don't fit the demographic. I don't know why I'm here. I'm not specifically trained for these issues. But God showed him what he wanted him to do. And I found this so interesting. Gregory began to notice that all the people around him were involved in gangs. And people were being killed all over the place. The Crips and the Bloods. And he began to feel like God wanted him to start a gang rescue mission. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. So he founded Homeboy Industries. It's the largest gang intervention, rehabilitation, and reentry program in the world. And since 1988, Gregory and his team have been serving there in the mean streets of L.A., rescuing gang members. And they've rescued thousands and thousands of gang members from coming through and getting killed off the streets. Isn't that wonderful? See, he decided to have a find and fulfill mentality. And he did this. And when I read up this, it really inspired me. There's a special aspect of their ministry. When you are going and you join the Crips and the Bloods, one of the things that they do is they tattoo you for identity purposes in your gang. They've got a tattoo identity on their body to let people know what gang they're affiliated with. And since 1988, when I read about this, it got me excited. Gregory and his little mission church and Homeboy Industries, they raised money for every man that gets saved and said, you know what? I don't want to identify with the gang anymore. I want to identify with the body of Christ. And so Gregory raises the money, and since 1988, they have paid for the removal of over 3,000 gang tattoos off the guys that have gotten saved. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? What a find and fulfill mission. That's the kind of thing that happens when we become great at getting our eyes off of our own desires and onto the will of God. When you begin to realize that God will use you, me and you, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. It's what he does. For example, today, just a few biblical examples. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, y'all know the story. Peter and John were used by God to do an astounding miracle. They healed a man who'd been crippled from birth. And the pious religious leaders there, the Jews, they were in awe of what happened. Not because of the miracle. No, it seems like they just blew off the miracle. This guy's been sitting at the gate called Beautiful his whole life. Here he is leaping and jumping in the temple. They didn't worry about that. No, what got their attention was the fact that God used somebody like Peter and John to get that miracle done. The Bible says that they perceived Peter and John to be unlearned and ignorant men. And that kind of thinking really permeates and continues in the hearts of religious people even today. But church, hear me. God confounded those who think themselves wise by using ordinary, everyday common people such as Peter and John to do amazing things for him. What does that mean to you, me and you? It means that, you know what, it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your education level. It just doesn't matter if you got a heart for God and you're willing to be used by him to step out and find and fulfill, God will use you to do wonderful and extraordinary things. Got anybody here who receives it this morning? Can you begin to believe it right now? Peter and John's just one example. Another example is in Acts chapter 22. We meet a man named Ananias. We don't know anything about Ananias. He said the Bible says that he was a respected disciple. And God used him to do something amazing. God sent Paul to Ananias to be healed of his blindness. If you can read this in the book of Acts. Paul went to Ananias blind. God had told the man to lay hands on Paul and heal him of his blindness. Think of that. An apostle of God, healed by the ministry of just a regular disciple. But church, we often get it backwards. We tend to expect those who are perceived as spiritual giants to do the remarkable ministry while the normal disciples sit humbly on the sidelines. But please hear me, that's never been God's plan. In fact, if you look in your word, God has always used normal, everyday people, sometimes even despised people, to do great things. And he'll use me and you. Matthew is a great example. In Matthew chapter 10, we read that Matthew was a tax collector. The Bible says that this was the most despised occupation in all of Israel. But God looked past the part about Matthew being despised and turned out by his brothers and chose him and called him to be one of the original 12 apostles. God will use you. Come on, tell me. I want you to say it. Say, God will use me. Come on. God will use you. He don't care. Think about Daniel. What about Daniel? In the Old Testament, Daniel was a captive slave. But God elevated him to one of the highest and most influential people in all the land. You may still be thinking this right now. Hey, Brandon, those are biblical examples. God used ordinary people back then, but what about today? Let me tell you this. God can really give you the kind of dream that makes a difference. Are y'all hearing me this morning? God can give you the kind of dream that makes a difference. He doesn't just use special people to do amazing things. I realize that there's a lot going on in the narrative about the church and the day in which we live. You've all heard it. You've heard the stories about how the global church is really losing ground. You've heard all the stories about how the church in America is losing its influence and it's struggling. But you need to be reminded this morning that Jesus himself said that hell will not prevail over his church. And when God finds a courageous, faith-filled woman or man of God willing to go and find and fulfill for him, he's still doing amazing things through people every day all over the place. And he'll use you too if you'll step out and say, use me, Lord. Come on, if you agree with it, say a good amen. Amen. For example, I want you to meet this young lady right here. Here's Alyssa Schrag. Alyssa is a missionary to America. Did you guys know that missionaries are now sent to America? Amen. This young lady is an American. She started a ministry. She got hungry for God. She's a young woman. She got hungry for God, wanted to be used greatly of God. She started a ministry called California Will Be Saved Ministry. Isn't that wonderful? Look at these pictures of Alyssa. You can see her there. She's praying with this young man on the street. Here's one of her open-air gatherings with the palm trees around. She's praying with a young lady here in one of her services. Just a young person who decided to be great for God. People worshiping there. Here's what she said in her quote. She said, "My heart is burning for Jesus. I'm believing for a great community revival to awaken the church and bring the lost home, preparing them for the return of the Lord." She said, "We're holding gatherings of prayer, worship, and evangelism on the streets of California, seeing many saved, healed, delivered, and baptized." Come on, somebody. This isn't somebody special. This is just somebody who got saved and decided that God would use her and that God could use her to do something phenomenal and something extraordinary. And here she is making a great difference for Jesus. Thank God. This is just somebody like me and somebody like you. Pastor, do you really, really mean me? Yes, you are a living epistle. Let me tell you this. You can compel them with your life and your story. I want to say it to you one more time. You can compel them with your life and your story. I believe some people need to get tired of only letting people read your story of brokenness. It's time for a lot of people in God's family, his kingdom, his children, to get discontent with your story of discouragement and began to let people read your story of victory. It's time to turn the page of your story and realize all that God has done for you. Those are the things that God can use. Everything in your story. You can compel them. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. We're going to read this because I want you to see how plain it is. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Y'all hear me say that all the time. Think about your life before Jesus. See, there should be a very plain distinction between your life before the cross and your life now that God has set you free. There should be a space there. It can be like God's space. It's that transition phase. It's that time of life back when you were lost and back when you were hurting and back when you were struggling and attached to the world. But then Jesus came in and he set you free. And now you've got a brand new story being written. Come on, somebody. Think of your life when you were called. He said, "Not many of you were wise by man's standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." He went on to say it like this. "God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are." Why would he do that? Why would he use somebody that the world would deem unqualified? Why would he use the broken woman? Why would he use the man who's made so many mistakes in his life that everybody around him looks and has discounted him and said, "Don't have anything to do with him"? God will find that guy right there and say, "You know what? That's the kind of person I can use." Because when I change his life and began to use him mightily by the power of God to do amazing things by the will of God. When I change him around, everybody's going to look into his life and they're going to say this, only God could have done that. Are y'all with me this morning? Only God could have done that. He'll use you. And the Bible says in verse 29, here's why, so that no one may boast before him. Praise God. Aren't you glad this morning that no matter what you've been through, God will use you? Aren't you glad this morning that all of the junk and all of the hurt, all of the pain, all of the abuse, every time you've ever been left alone, hurt, and abandoned, every time someone lied to you, every time you've been stabbed in the back by someone you were supposed to be able to trust, God will heal you of that thing and use your story to minister to somebody who needs to hear it. Let me tell you this. If you're a ex-anything, God can use you. Got anybody who's an ex-something in here? Come on, somebody. Any ex-something in here? God will use you. Remember this today. I'm almost done. Watch closely. Remember that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Moses was just a shepherd. God called him to lead Israel. Daniel was a captive slave. Peter and John were just fishermen. What about me and you? God will use you to bring people into his kingdom. When you give your heart and your life over to Jesus, when you pull deep from within, from the story of you and God, when he writes it on your heart by the Holy Spirit, hear me, you can go forth with excitement and expectation. You can go forth in great power and hope. Go forth to minister to the world around you in Jesus' name. How many are ready to go forth this morning to find and fulfill? My prayer for all of us this week has been something very, very simple. That no matter what you have been through, God has a great calling and great something great for you to do. And I want you to begin to believe that God can use you to outreach, to find and fulfill. It's your story that makes all the difference. I know we live in an era and an age when people think that having it all lined up perfectly is what's going to convince the world to believe. But here's the truth. You're never going to convince them with your knowledge, your intellect, your understanding. You can't prove God to anybody by logic and reasoning. Let me tell you why. God has mandated the necessity of faith for salvation. The best thing you got, the most compelling thing you have, is your story of how God penetrated the darkness of your life and gave you a brand new existence. Amen, everybody? Come on, if you receive it, say, I receive it this morning. I want to show you just one more picture today. I read this story this last week, and this famous missionary, Elizabeth Elliot. Take a look at this amazing picture of Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot is one of the most famous missionaries and one of the most quoted missionaries of the 20th century. Her story is very popular, very famous. People quote Elizabeth Elliot all the time, and I just put these three quotes. I want us to read these. Look carefully before I tell you about this picture. She said, does our faith rest on having prayers answered as we think they should be answered? Or does it rest on that mighty love that went down into death for us? Praise God. Isn't that amazing? She also said, today is mine. Tomorrow is none of my business. If I peer anxiously into the future, I will strain my spiritual eyes so that I will not see clearly what is required of me right now. Oh, I'm guilty of that one. How about you? My favorite one is this one. The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. That's amazing, isn't it? Take a close look at this picture. What you'll see here is a young woman teaching children. She had a find and fulfill mentality. She and her young husband, they got married and began to pray about what God would do with them in their life. And Elizabeth and her husband prayed, and they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to identify an unreached people group. And we're going to go to those people and get to know them and tell them about Jesus. Not an unevangelized people group. We're going to a people group that's undiscovered. Let's find somewhere in the on the world that nobody knows about it. Go tell them about Jesus. So they set out on their mission field, and they begin to hear talk about the Acua tribe in Ecuador. And they went to the Acua tribe. Now, Elizabeth became pregnant. If you look closely at the picture, you'll notice that there's a little girl right by her feet. Do y'all see that? It's an amazing picture. The little girl's right by her feet, holding on tightly to her little leg. And Elizabeth and her husband said, let's go to those people and begin to tell them about Jesus. And her husband said, okay, let's go. Unfortunately for her, she couldn't go right away because she got pregnant with that little girl. But when Elizabeth was 10 months pregnant, her husband went to the tribe and left her behind because she was pregnant. And during his meeting with the tribe to try to introduce himself, they killed her husband with a spear. And Elizabeth was broken, but she was determined. And she began to pray, the Lord, what can I do now? I'm pregnant, and I've got this great calling on my life. I live in Ecuador. I need something to do, Lord. And the Lord said, just do what I've already told you to do. So she determined to go to the tribe and minister to them. The same tribe. And the most amazing thing about this story and how it motivates us is simply this. The picture you're looking at is Elizabeth Elliot with the baby she was pregnant with when her husband got killed in a school that she built in the tribe of the people who killed her husband. She forgave those people and went to them and ministered to them and began to get them saved by the power of God. She built a school, and the little kids she's teaching there are the people that God sent her to. Isn't that wonderful, guys? And the point of that story is very, very simple. God will use ordinary people to do the extraordinary. God will use you. If you believe God will use you this morning, come on, stand with me all over the room. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you, for God to give you a great dream this morning, to use you in mighty ways today, all week long. There's so many people who've been through so much that you stopped believing that God can use you. And in our brokenness and in our pain, we begin to discount ourselves. We might say, well, I'm broken. God can't use me. But this morning, I just want to announce to you that there's a theme in Scripture about that. It's called the Potter's Touch. There's a great story in the Bible. That the vessel was broken in the hands of the potter. But the potter picked it up. And the Bible doesn't say that he put all the pieces back together again. No, the Bible says that the potter created a new vessel. A brand new vessel. And today, as we pray, if you're among those who've been broken, but you really want God to use you, he'll make you into a brand new vessel this morning. Can y'all believe that with me today, guys? He uses ordinary people to do the extraordinary. He'll do it. No matter what you've been through, come on. Aren't you glad about it, guys? I want to pray for you right now. God's going to do a great thing in your life this morning. My objective today is to inspire you and get you believing that God can use you no matter what's happened in your life. Not just a little bit, a lot. Come on, everybody say a lot. Jesus said this in John 15. We hit this yesterday in the morning prayer meeting. Jesus said this. He said, it's my Father's will that you bear much fruit. Come on. How many fruit bearers we got in here? Will y'all say this with me? I'm ready for God to use me for something big. I'm ready to bear much fruit with my life. I see some good hands. Hey, I'm ready for God to use me for something great. Is that you this morning? Then let's pray right now. Let's lift our hands all over the place this morning.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us today. And I hope today has been just such a memorable experience for you. We would love to connect with you in any way possible. And so if you'll take a look at the screen, there's a QR code that's going to come up. Scan that with your phone and that takes you to a connect card. If this is your first time here, we would love to get to meet you and your family. If you have any kind of need or any kind of prayer request for the week, fill out that connect card online and send it in. The staff get together. We pray together over those connect cards every Monday. If you have any kind of comments or concerns, please write those on there as well. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. We can't wait to worship with you again. Have a great week.